Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaska's city council has passed an emergency hunker down order, and the state has had its first coronavirus-related death. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Wednesday, March 25th, 2020. Last night, the City Council passed an emergency hunker down order for Unalaska. The new order asks that Unalaskans, quote, stay at home as much as possible, end quote. The only exceptions are for groceries and other important goods, healthcare, or for, quote, fresh air without contacting others. Anyone traveling into the city from a community with known cases of coronavirus must self-quarantine for 14 days. The two exceptions for this are healthcare workers and employees of critical businesses. Under Unalaska's rules, fishing and fish processing are considered critical businesses. A list of other critical businesses, including grocery stores and television and radio stations, can be found on the city's website. But council members had a few questions. Here's Sherry Coleman, who asked whether all Unalaskans would follow the new order.
You know, some people are going to get hard financially on this, but if others aren't really playing by the same rules, kind of concerning, just wondering if there's an element of enforcement.
Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson worried that without more oversight, certain areas of industry also might not adhere to the order.
There are a few of them out there that probably need a little bit more aggressive urging to please respect our citizens here. And when they get off that plane, don't just go barging in the places and up the people. Be mindful of the distance. So maybe we can be a little bit more send a little more aggressive letter that we pass this resolution out to all the companies that operate out of here.
Mayor Vince Tudiakoff Sr. noted their points.
City manager is writing frantically down, so she'll take note of that. Thank you.
In the end, the order passed unanimously. This is in addition to Governor Mike Dunleavy's health mandate, which includes a 14-day quarantine for anyone traveling from outside of state and a closure of all non-essential businesses. Violations of the state mandate come with up to a $25,000 fine and up to a year in prison. Like Unalaska's order, the mandate does not cover critical businesses like healthcare workers, reporters, or the fishing industry. While GCI announced a plan last week to support Alaskans' expanding need for connectivity at home in response to the coronavirus pandemic, Unalaskans aren't really going to benefit.
Across the state, in places where GCI provides internet service, we're offering a chance for folks to upgrade their plans for free, to get into our basic level plans for free if you don't already have GCI internet service. And students and teachers who don't have internet service can access the free plan, plus get free equipment to help them access the service.
That's GCI's Heather Handyside, and Unalaska is one of those places where GCI doesn't provide internet service. So while current GCI internet customers can upgrade their data plans for free through the end of May in many parts of the state, in Unalaska, that option just isn't available.
We recognize that folks in Dutch Harbor, you know, it's important for you to connect as well and for our customers to stay connected. That's why we've been working so hard to figure out a way to push forward the Aleutian Fiber Project, which we're still in the process of applying for. And I recognize that's not going to remedy anything right now.
So Handyside says at this time, the most relevant options to Unalaskans are using the company's Lifeline program, which allows customers who demonstrate economic need to get free cell service for $1 a month. Or, she says, if your income has been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic and you are unable to pay your phone bill, GCI won't cut off your service and will put payments on hold for the time being. A patient with COVID-19 is currently in intensive care at Bartlett Regional Hospital. This is Juneau's second confirmed case of the virus and the first case of hospitalization related to coronavirus in Alaska. In a press conference Monday, the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services said all patients with confirmed cases of COVID-19 were recovering at home. State health officials say both of the people in Juneau who are sick appear to have caught the virus while traveling. According to a release from the city and borough of Juneau, the second patient recently visited Portland and Washington State. State and local health officials are working with the latest patient's family to track down people who may have recently come into contact with them. Meanwhile, Governor Dunleavy confirmed Alaska's first coronavirus-related death on Tuesday. The person died in Washington State, but was an Alaskan. By Tuesday evening, there were more than 40 known COVID-19 cases in Alaska. More than 1,600 Alaskans have now been tested. Under Dunleavy's health mandate, he has closed certain businesses and is urging Alaskans to stay home to avoid spreading the coronavirus. But some state employees still have to report to their offices. And Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports, outrage is percolating.
Dunleavy says some jobs like policing and firefighting and essential office jobs can't be done from home.
If we could send everybody home in state and municipal governments, and if we thought that our governments could function, our society could function, our civilization could function if we could do that, we'd certainly do that, but we know it can't.
That characterization of who still has to report for work has annoyed and infuriated state workers and their friends.
If you go in and you really look at the employees working and what they're doing, the ones that I'm aware of are not troopers and police officers. They're not what the governor is representing.
Attorney Cynthia Franklin directed the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office during part of the Walker administration. She has friends in two state office buildings she used to work in, the Brady and the Atwood in downtown Anchorage. She says her friends are in state agencies and in the civil division of the Department of Law, and they are worried about their exposure.
The governor talks out of one side of his mouth for everyone else in the state, and then for his own employees, he allows decisions to be made that are inconsistent with one another and inconsistent with the state workers' safety and health.
Franklin says she's particularly concerned for the office assistants, whose desks tend to be closer together and who are often not in a position to object.
So what essentially happens is the support staff, the lowest paid employees who can least afford to lose their jobs, are asked to work in the tightest physical environments.
Dunleavy has left it up to managers to decide who can work from home. He said he didn't know how many state employees were still required to report to the office. His spokesman later referred the question to the Department of Administration, which did not respond by our deadline. Several state employees have contacted Alaska Public Media to say they're concerned about their safety and about losing their jobs if they speak up publicly. One said she is part of a support staff for an office that no longer functions, but she and her coworkers were required to show up anyway. Another said his office is open to the public, with two bottles of expired hand sanitizer for visitors and none for staff. He shared a message from a supervisor warning employees not to appeal to the commissioner. He also said his colleagues are sent on tasks that may increase everyone's exposure, like waiting in line at the post office and then distributing mail from office to office. The Alaska State Employees Association is filing a restraining order asking a judge to force the state to allow more teleworking, stagger shifts, reconfigure workspaces, and provide safety equipment. Jake Metcalf is the executive director of the union, representing office workers, probation officers, and nurses at state institutions.
I can't count the number of emails that I've gotten from people that are concerned that they either, you know, can't get approval to telework or they're not sure that their workplace is safe. And they're, you know, they're stressed out and their anxiety levels are off the charts about this.
Metcalf says in a pandemic, the safety of state workers and the hygiene of public buildings is important to the safety of the entire state. Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Meanwhile, the Alaska legislature has been working on a few bills in response to the coronavirus. Both chambers passed a bill that would ease access to unemployment insurance benefits for those affected by the pandemic. The measure would eliminate the one-week waiting period for benefits, and it would raise the benefit per dependent from $25 per week to $75. Anchorage Democratic Representative Ivy Sponholz says Alaskans who've lost their jobs need the bill.
They're fearful about how they're going to pay their rent. They're going to put food on the table for their children. And this bill will go a long way to ensuring that working Alaskans who aren't able to work are able to get some necessary support at this time.
All legislators present in both chambers voted for the bill. Another bill would extend Dunleavy's disaster emergency declaration for the state until September 1st, allowing him to proclaim the emergency has ended if Health and Social Services Commissioner Adam Crum finds that the virus outbreak or imminent threat of an outbreak no longer exists. That bill also would provide funding to cover costs from the emergency. And it would allow Lieutenant Governor Kevin Mayer to hold the primary or statewide special elections by mail. Dunleavy has proposed an economic stabilization plan that the legislature hasn't considered. It's not clear if the legislature will consider a separate bill that would fund COVID-19 economic relief. The Board of Education for the Unalaska City School District meets tonight via telephone conference call. At their regular meeting, members will be discussing new teacher hire contracts and the district budget. They will also be discussing how Unalaska's public health emergency relates to the district. The school board meets tonight at 7 o'clock over teleconference. You can tune in there or live here on 89.7 FM. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts. Thank you.